And this is a message that I've been thinking about for quite a while. Several months ago, we were walking through the book of Genesis in our Sunday school lessons at Lehigh Valley Baptist. And a part of the lesson, one of the lessons stuck out to me in Genesis chapter number 25. And, you know, when I was preparing this message, I wasn't thinking about the theme of camp, in all honesty. And I didn't even put two together until yesterday when I was studying how well this passage fits with the theme of camp. And the title for my message this morning is a question, and that is, what is your bowl of soup? What is your bowl of soup? Genesis chapter number 25. And let's go ahead and start in verse number 24. It says, "And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sod pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the chance for us to be here this morning. And Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom that is there for us. And Father, I pray that as I speak this morning, that you would minister your word to the hearts of everyone that's here. That Father, that you'd help each one of us to be looking at our own hearts, our own lives. And Father, that you'd speak to us from your word this morning. We pray that you'd be honored, magnified, and glorified today in Jesus' name. Amen. So that question, what is your bowl of soup? Very familiar story to most of you, I'm sure, about Esau and how he despised his birthright over pottage of lentils, a bowl of soup, bean soup. So we want to look at what Esau did, why he did it, and how it parallels with us today. First of all, we can notice today that Esau had a hunger problem. He had a hunger problem. It says there in the passage that Esau came in from the field and he ate. It says that he was walking in as Jacob was making this bowl of soup. He was sodding it. He was stirring the pot. He was mashing the vegetables. He was preparing this bowl of soup. And Esau must have been pretty hungry. I guess he was out in the field hunting or doing some work and he hadn't had much to eat. And as he's coming across the field, he smells that food. It smells good. It's about lunchtime, and you all are probably starting to maybe feel some hunger pains, and you can imagine what it's like to be hungry. And you can imagine what it's like to be working hard and really hungry and to be walking into the house, and maybe your mom's making your favorite home-cooked meal, and you breathe deeply, and oh, that smells good. And so Esau, apparently, he had a thing for this pottage that Jacob was making. In fact, there in the passage, it says that they named him Edom. Verse number 30. Therefore was his name called Edom, which is red. And this is apparently a pottage from what Esau said. He said to Jacob, "Give me some of that same red pottage." So I don't know. I kind of take it from the passage that Esau loved this stuff so much that it became his nickname. Red. He was known by his appetite, by this type of food that he liked so much. The Bible also says that he was red and hairy all over. So maybe he had a thing for red. I don't know. But he was hungry. And, you know, that's a natural thing. It's a natural thing to feel hunger pains. Brother Hart talked about this last night. Like I said, I really wasn't thinking about the theme of camp when I prepared this. But, I mean, he went into great detail about hunger pains last night and what it is to feel hunger. And so Esau's coming in and he's thinking, man, I am hungry and I need food. In fact, he says there that I'm at the point of death. He thought that he was so hungry that if he didn't eat right then and there, he was going to die. But hunger is a very natural thing. But we said that Esau had a hunger problem. And, you know, the problem really came with Esau when he went to satisfy his hunger. Because we find that Esau went to the wrong place to satisfy his hunger. And you say, well, you know, how did Esau go to the wrong place? Well, look at the passage there. He comes to Jacob and he says, Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't tend to frequent restaurants that charge exorbitant prices. So if I ever went into a restaurant and they said, yeah, we'll give you a burger and fries and a drink, and it will cost you, your entire retirement portfolio 60 years from now. I would walk out of a restaurant like that. I don't care how hungry I am. Say, you know what? Your burger might be really, really good, but I'm not laying my future on the line to eat one of your burgers. I'm not that into your burger, right? But if you think about it, if you look at that, that's exactly what Esau does. Esau comes and his brother says, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau doesn't blink an eye. He doesn't turn and run. I don't know if he thought his brother wasn't serious. I don't know if he thought he could somehow get away with it. But Esau was willing to pay the price that his brother was offering. So we find that Esau, he went to the wrong place to satisfy his hunger. I would imagine Esau had a house. He probably had some food at home that he could have eaten. It wasn't what he wanted. Maybe it wasn't ready. Esau had family, other family that he could have gone to. I'm sure Esau could have figured out a way to get some food and not sell his birthright. But we find that Esau was so concerned with what was right in front of him. He was so concerned with these hunger pains, he was willing to do whatever it took to get that bowl of soup. And really, Esau gave up eternal reward for a momentary pleasure. You know, at best, the bowl of soup and bread that Jacob gave Esau, it stuck with him for maybe 5-6 hours. And Esau was hungry again. But Esau gave up everything that was to be his in the birthright. And, okay, so you sit back and you say, well, what does a birthright mean? What good did that really do him? The birthright for a boy in Esau's position, it would have meant that he would pull the inheritance of his father. Now, that's pretty special if you remember who his father is. Some of us, we can think about our dads and say, you know what, if I got double a portion of inheritance, it wouldn't really amount to too much. And I'm okay with that. But if you think about Jacob and Esau, who was their dad? Ethan? Isaac. And who was Isaac's dad? Abraham. Now, Isaac and Abraham, were they rich or were they poor? Rich. They had a lot of cattle. They had a lot of wealth. And so for Esau to be getting a double portion of the inheritance, that's pretty spectacular. That would be like having a millionaire, a multimillionaire for a father, and being given a double portion, double what your brother or your sister gets, right? That's pretty special. Sign me up for that, right? You know, hey, I can get $4 million instead of two. Great. But Esau, he throws that away. But you know, the birthright really was more than just that. The birthright for Esau also came along with a lot of spiritual blessings, eternal blessings. For Esau, the birthright meant that he would be in the direct lineage of Jesus Christ, the Messiah that would come to rescue the world. So Esau is presented with this offer. Give me your birthright. Give me your future, and I will give you a bowl of soup. And Esau says, yeah, sounds great. Let's do it. He says, birthright's not worth much anyway. I'm going to die. I'm so hungry. So Esau went to the wrong place and he gave up his eternal reward for momentary pleasure. You know, Brother Hart alluded to this last night, talked about it, that hunger is a very powerful motivator. And when you really get hungry, you'll do just about anything to find food. And you can read history accounts of people who found themselves in dire circumstances. Hunger will drive a person to eat just about anything, including shoes, clothing, just to fill the belly some, to quench the hunger pains. And so Esau comes and he's hungry, and he went really far to get a single meal. And you know, I find that that is far too often like us. That far too often we are willing to do just about anything to satisfy our hungers. Brother Hart talked last night about how we can hunger for things that we do not long for. And, you know, each of us finds a craving inside of our soul, a void that needs to be filled. And there's a hunger that is there. And you know, the world, they do just about anything to fill that hunger, to get peace in their soul. But when we go after the things of the world, when we allow to sit in the driver's seat and we hunger after things that we don't belong hungering after, it always costs us more than we bargained. And you know, the sad thing, while it costs so high a cost, it never satisfies. You can try to fill the hunger in your soul with all the things that the world has to offer. You can try to fill the hunger in your soul with all the sin that Satan will allow you to participate in. All of the opportunities that will come your way to sin. But it will never satisfy. It will never, ever fill that void. If you turn over to the Gospel of John, you can hold your place here in Genesis. The Gospel of John, chapter number 4. There's a poignant example here in John chapter number 4. Jesus is talking with the woman at the well. And here's a woman who has tried to fill the hunger in her soul with all kinds of things that the world has to offer. She's lived a riotous lifestyle and she's known by her lifestyle to those around her. But she finds herself in a conversation with Jesus Christ. And Jesus says to her there in verse number 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And here's a woman who found an answer for her thirst, for her hunger that was in her soul. And she found it in the person of Jesus Christ. And she had tried all the things that the world had to offer to quench that thirst, but she never could until she met Jesus. Amen. Because Jesus is the only one who will ever quench the hunger and the thirst that we have. Flip back there to Genesis, though. Genesis chapter 25. Because we saw that Esau had a hunger problem. But second of all, Esau had a perspective problem. There in our passage, Genesis 25, verse number 31, Jacob says to him, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do me?" He says, "Look, Jacob, I'm going to die here if you don't give me some food. So, yeah, I'll give you whatever you want. I don't care about my birthright. It does me no good. I need food. Give it to me." And so he sells his birthright. But to do that, he has a very bad view. He really had to have a bad perspective to really be thinking very clearly. Because I venture to guess that none of you would trade $4 million that's promised to you in the future for lunch today. I think that if you had $4 million promised to you in the future, and it was told you, yeah, you know, you can have that in 30 years, or you can eat lunch today. I don't think any of you would say, yeah, I'll eat lunch today. I think it would be a light thing. Even if you're really hungry, maybe you skipped breakfast this morning, I don't know. But even if you're really hungry, the promise of future reward like that, yeah, I'll skip a meal. No problem. I'll skip a whole day of meals. That's fine. If that's a sure promise, sign me up. So Esau has a wrong perspective. He had a wrong view of his birthright. And you know, for him to have such a poor view of his birthright, there must have been doubt that he really wasn't interested in. There must have been something there that he really didn't care that much about. The Bible doesn't really go into much detail about why Esau despised him. But this obviously wasn't something that had just begun today. It wasn't like Esau was really looking forward to the promise, that Esau was really counting himself blessed to have this birthright given to him. And then all of a sudden Jacob comes and says, "Yeah, sell that to me and I'll give you a bowl of soup." Esau had to be pondering this. Esau had to be looking at his birthright and saying, "You know, this isn't really worth it. You know, I don't really like this part. And I don't know, but given the life that he led, it seems that he may have despised the spiritual part of his birthright. It may have seemed, may have been that he despised the part that had to do with Jesus, that had to do with being part of the spiritual leadership of his family, with taking charge of his family once his parents were gone. I don't know. But it obviously didn't start today because Esau, in an instant, turned it over. He obviously didn't value it at all. But you know, Esau had a bad perspective because he gave up something that he could never buy back. And you know, he didn't even bargain for it. Makes this offer and Esau doesn't even say, "Well, brother, that's a pretty steep bargain. You know, that's a lot of things that are promised to me. I'll give you a quarter of my birthright for a bowl of soup, or next time I'm hunting, I'll bring back four deer and give them to you." He doesn't even try. He just says, "Yeah, I'll do it. I'll give you my birthright. I'll give you a future for a bowl of soup." It really doesn't even make any sense. The amount of foolishness in his decision. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 12. This event is spoken about here in Hebrews chapter number 12. And it's spoken about in the form of a warning. A warning to us. Hebrews chapter number 12. Verse 14, it says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." And then he tells us there in the beginning of verse 15, looking diligently, and he gives us this list of things that we are to be looking for. If you jump down there to verse number 16, one of the things that we are to be looking for is, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And you see there that Esau is referred to as a profane person, a fornicator, someone who lives outside the bounds of God's law, someone who gratifies themselves, their lusts, their desires. And he was willing to trade his birthright for one morsel of meat, one bowl of soup. But, you know, he gave up something that was his. The birthright belonged to Esau. It didn't belong to anyone else. No one could take it from him. But he willingly gave it up, and he would never get it back. He gave up something that was his, that was promised to him. Though the Bible says he sought that place of repentance with tears. If you jump forward a couple chapters in Genesis, Isaac is there and he's giving the blessing. And of course, you know the story how Jacob comes in and he lies and he gets the blessing from his father. And Esau comes in and he gets down on his knees before his father. And the Bible says that he was crying, that he was upset. And he says, "Dad, is there not anything left for me?" But it was too late. Esau had decisions, and he couldn't get his birthright back. And, you know, I think this really is where we are so much like Esau. And especially those of you young people who have grown up in church. We've been given a birthright. Being raised in church has put us in a unique opportunity, a unique situation where we have been sheltered from the harms, the cares, exposure to things that we ought not to be exposed to in this world. And growing up in church, you have a birthright of purity and innocence. Even if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've been raised in a sheltered environment and you have something that belongs to you. But the problem is that Satan has nothing more to take that birthright that you have. And he wants to destroy it. He wants to make you just like everyone else that's out there. He wants to expose you to all the things that they're exposed to. And he's really changing it up, making it look attractive. And the problem is that we sit back and we look at sin and we say, yeah, you know, that holds a lot of promise. If I could just go after that thing, if I could just have that relationship, if I could just do that thing, if I could participate in that activity that my parents won't let me and the adults do that, I'd be happy. I would have that satisfaction in my soul. The problem is when you do that, you lose your birthright. You sell the thing that you have just like Esau, and in return, the best thing you get is a few hours, a few moments, and you lose everything you had before. Satan wants us to feel like we're missing out. He wants us to believe that God's way is hard and boring. He wants us to believe that the only way to satisfy our appetite is with the entertainments, with the world has to offer. But to indulge in any of those things, you have to give what you currently have. And the problem is you're not just giving money. You're not just giving possessions. You're giving your very soul. yourself that arguably you will never get back. And any ground that you give up in your life to Satan is ground that if you ever decide to get back, it's going to be a very hard-fought battle. You'll never get back what you gave, and anything you did get, anything you marked with scars for the rest of your life. Any part that you sell will never fully be reclaimed. But really, this is what Esau did. Esau was so hungry. He was so focused on the hunger that he had that he was willing to give up riches, inestimable riches, for a bowl of soup. What a stupid decision. What a foolish thing to do. But yet, how many times do things just like Esau? How many times is a choice set before us, a sin, something that we can follow after, an attitude of heart that you can participate in, and you make the decision. We do sell a part of ourselves. And if you go far enough, eventually you'll be gone. Sold out. Turn over to Proverbs chapter number 10. I'm almost done. Proverbs chapter number 10 and verse number 22, it says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." You see, Esau, he was seeking after riches. He was seeking after satisfaction. He was seeking after peace. He was hungering for something. And he made a really bad deal. But when we follow after God, when we hunger after things, and we submit our desires to Him, we seek blessing through His channels, through His avenues, through the way that He has prescribed in His Word for us to go after. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and it addeth no sorrow with it. And we find here a law, a principle, that when we seek after the things of God, when we seek after the blessing of God, that we will be made rich in a way that adds no sorrow. But the exact opposite is true. If you ignore the laws of God and you seek blessing through your own avenues, you might get some things that you think, oh, that's riches. Oh. But it will only be for a season. And there will always, always, always be sorrow with it. You'll never somehow shortcut or short circuit the laws of God. There will always be sorrow. So let me end with this. Selling your birthright is never worth it. Esau should have looked at this deal and said, "Jacob, you're not going to pull that trick over on me, man. You're a jerk. I'll go get my food somewhere else." What a stupid deal. That much for a bowl of soup? Come on, man. What's wrong with you? Just give me the soup. I'm your brother. I'm going to give you a noogie. I don't know. But he should have run from the steal with all that he had. But he didn't. And we can so often be just like that. But selling your birthright is never, ever worth it. And young people, you've been given a blessing to be here. Those of you who've been raised in a home, actually all of you, the fact that you're here, the fact that your parents care enough to let you be here, you have a blessing. You have a birthright. You have this week in front of you. And Satan wants nothing more than for you to sell what you have to him at a dear, dear cost. Don't do it. The best you'll ever get out of it is temporary pleasure that lasts but for a moment. But the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow therewith. So I ask you again, what is your bowl of soup? What is the thing that Satan can put in front of you and you say, oh, that sounds kind of good. What is the thing that he tempts you with time and time again? In that, I'll do that. Remember that every time you do, you are selling your soul. You are selling pieces of yourself to participate in that. What is your bowl of soup? Brother Gable. Amen.